This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Ah, of course. Hello and welcome to a slightly later Take Care On Air for this week with me, Kath Duncan.
And me, Crusader Hillis.
Of course.
And you know that Take Care On Air is brought to you by the Also Foundation, your community advocacy and sexual health information portal.
Oh.
It's all part of the Take Care Out There Sexual Health Project.
Exactly. Before this, you heard Kylie Minogue there with Breathe.
Can I admit to being an anti-Kylie Minogue person? I don't see why everyone made such a fuss about her being on at Mardi Gras.
Crusader.
What's she ever done for the queer community?
I can just hear radios all over Melbourne shutting off.
Well, look, once they turn on the computer here, that we'll be able to get people ferociously calling in.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, we're all hanging out for that. On the show today, we're going to it's more of our series on queer sports, you know, like how much sportier can we get? We've got a combination of soccer and water polo. Now, I know that's very high contrast.
Look, we're also going to be exploring some new research into young people's perceptions and experiences of wanted and unwanted attention in sexual attention in licensed venues.
That should be interesting. And, of course, we're also going to be checking up on what's going on around Victoria with our buddy from Goulburn Valley Pride, Damien Stevens.
All this and more.
Now, I just want to say a quick word about the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
It's still running.
Yes.
For another week and a day or two.
Yes.
I know, the week.
Back by popular demand is Monday coming of next week.
Including Cloudburst, which was the opening night film.
Yeah, and apparently it really went off. And I'm going to see that on the Monday night because I missed it. And look, I've seen six films so far. They're a bit blurry in my mind. A top tip, because it's playing again, is the Norwegian or Danish, never quite worked that out, film called Kiss Mook.
Scandinavian.
Well done. Kiss Mook, but it's sort of translated as With Every Heartbeat. You know what? There is, honestly, one of the best filmic orgasms ever.
Fantastic.
And no one dies. So I definitely recommend that one.
But have we got on the telephone?
Right now, it's all about soccer. Now, look, the whole world plays it. But what's it like to play with other queer folk? The Melbourne Rovers, they were formed in June 2008 as an LGBT soccer club. They wanted to foster soccer and achieve physical and social fitness. I think that's really good. And also for recreation. Now, I didn't get this bit. You were saying they've played leagues.
No, they've played in different leagues, including the Yarra Jets.
Ah.
In the Metro and State Leagues and the Men's Metropolitan Central League. And with the women playing in the Women's State League Division 2 Northwest and fielding another team in the Women's Metropolitan Central League. Is that all right and true, Mr. Heath Wilson?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, good.
So with all that, does that mean that you're pretty good?
You know what? The women's team is actually, although I'd hate to admit it, far superior to the men's men's Yarra Jets team. So
often happens, you know.
Ah, yes. Can we just ask you, how did the club form? What, you know, it was sort of around the same time as the 2008 Asia Pacific Games in Melbourne. Was it part of that, or did it have its own momentum?
It was a little bit after that, and it was set up by one of my mates, John Player, who actually lives in Sydney now. And
traitor.
he was very keen on soccer and got a bunch of guys to start off with who were interested and like-minded and, you know, got us all together and then recruited girls and, you know, brought it all together, really, so that we could come and play soccer, really, because that's what we're there for.
What's it take to be a good soccer player?
It's a very good question, and after many years of playing soccer, I still haven't been able to tap that one. You know, it's, I suppose, what Melbourne Rovers are all about is anyone can come along and have a kick, even if you haven't played before and you're interested in playing soccer or you like coming and watching. Anyone can play. So, but I suppose someone who's got great ball skills, you know, great
There's lots
Crusader.
Of men in the community that have great ball skills, I think, Heath. What position do you play on the field?
So I'm in the back line, usually right back.
And where do you guys play?
So during the winter season, we just finished our summer season, actually, which we played at Faulkner Park in a sub-football competition, which was a mixed competition.
So that was men and women playing together?
Yeah, so, gay and lesbian men and women. So we had two teams, actually, for the first time in 4 years play in that competition, and we both finished in the Division 1 league. And
that's
our
pretty good going.
And our Rovers 1 team actually came second overall, which was a pretty good effort. So,
and did the girls dominate?
Do you know what? In that team, I think the men are actually stronger.
Wow.
So look out.
Yes.
It equals out during the year. Men are stronger during the winter, summer, and the girls kick some serious butt during the winter. But during the winter season, we play in Clifton Hill.
Oh, yeah.
So we play under the Yarra Jets banner because they're an affiliated soccer club registered with the FFV. So we basically come in and fill their team. So.
Well, we're talking soccer here on Take Care On Air, of course, on Joy. Right at the moment, we're speaking with Rovers president, and that's a Melbourne mixed gender soccer club, Heath Wilson. Now, Heath, is there a lot of socialising after the games? Is it the sort of thing you can go along and, you know, hope you might find someone that you like?
Someone that you like, so looking for a soccer buddy that you could...
Is it also sort of like... I mean, do people ever end up dating each other, or do soccer players not do that sort of thing?
It's a good question. In the boys' team, I can only speak to the boys' side of things. I can honestly say that no one's really not like that.
It's not been a hookup thing, in other words, Kath. I think your ideas about your soccer career maybe are not quite going to be realised.
I might try water polo a bit later on, see
that's
if
right.
I get any more luck.
The water
there.
Polo team are a little bit more carefree and loving in that regard.
Oh, fantastic.
Really? Oh, well, put that to them.
Now, look, the Justin Fashanu Cup, I probably said the name wrong, but I think a lot of people probably know about Justin Fashanu, the UK footballer who came out as gay quite a few years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about him and also about the competition between you and the Sydney Rangers?
Yeah, so Justin Fashanu was a Premier League player in the late 80s who came out. He was the first black soccer player to come out, from what I understand. And, you know, unfortunately, he committed suicide in the early 90s. And there's a big campaign over in the UK about Justin Fashanu and, you know, social inclusion in sport and supporting, you know, gay and lesbian players who play sports. So there's a big campaign over there. We're up to this is going to be our fourth year. So Melbourne Rovers and the Sydney Rangers have a fiercely fought competition over a lovely cup each year, and that's called the Justin Fashanu Cup.
Who usually wins?
Well, it's a very good question, and if you had asked me this time last year, I would have told you it was 1-1. So, but actually, last year, Sydney won.
I could tell that because of the hesitation in your voice. Yes.
So, are you guys? Is your blood up for this year?
Do you know what? We're pumped and we're ready to peg one back. what's interesting is that neither team has actually ever won in their home city. So this year it's actually in Sydney. So Sydney are hosting, and we will be there in about October, I think, probably taking that battle up to them. It's always a very, very tight competition between the two clubs, and there's certainly a lot of rivalry building there, naturally, between Sydney and Melbourne. And we've met them this time last year at the Wellington Out Games, and I can say that we didn't concede or lose a game to them.
Excellent.
Over in Wellington. So happy with that, but we're looking to certainly peg one back so we can be 2-2 this year.
Good-o. Now, look, because we are a sexual health program, and that's, you know, that's actually one of our main focus, one of the things Take Care out there has done is sort of talk with a lot of sporting groups about getting this information. One of the great things I think about sports is it does provide an alternative to venues and a whole range of other things. But in terms of health and in particular sexual health, do the Rovers have any sort of attitudes about those sorts of things?
I think you mentioned previously about social inclusion and the social aspect. Certainly, Melbourne Rovers, you know, always look out for each other and, you know, kind of some of us have formed, you know, brotherly relationships or sisterly relationships with our fellow teammates, and certainly like to look out for each other. And we certainly all make sure that we're on the same page when it comes to safe sex and the like. So.
All right, so you don't hook up, but you talk about safe sex. That's a very good start.
Yeah, thank you. We talk about the safe sex that happened just on the weekend.
That's right.
How can people get involved?
Yes. How? Yes.
So hit up the two things you can get in contact with us through the website, which has got email addresses of myself and some of my other board members. Which is so it's just you can just Google Melbourne Rovers. And it will come up with the Melbourne Rovers website, or you can look at for us on Facebook and just search in Melbourne Rovers, and it will come up. So
fantastic! Terrific. And good luck against Sydney. Kill 'em.
Thank you, kill 'em.
Yeah, indeed. Take Care on Air here. Coming up, I bet you haven't thought about playing water polo. I know I've brought it up. We're having that a bit later on. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about the new research into unwanted sexual attention. Stay with us.
Joy 94.9.
Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours. Take care out there.
Take care out there.
Take care on air here with you, Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis. Don't panic if you miss the show for the week, because you can get us every week on podcast by going to the website joy.org.au. Right now, have you ever felt you received unwelcome sexual advances from people in clubs and pubs when you're out? If you'd like to comment on this story we're about to do or ask a question, you can SMS us now on 0427JOY949, or you can email to joy.org.au.
Yes, you've got that right, Kath. That's amazing.
Tops.
Well done.
At the University of Melbourne, PhD candidate in the School of Social and Political Sciences, Bianca Philiborne, is investigating young people's experiences and perceptions of sexual harassment and other unwelcome behaviours in licensed venues. And to tell us more, we have Bianca in the studio. Hi.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well.
What got you interested in this topic?
Sure. So I guess it was really based largely on my own experiences. So, you know, when I was a bit younger in my 20s and going out a bit more regularly, I just had this period of about, you know, maybe 6 months where every single time I went out, I had someone, you know, feeling me up or just doing something really inappropriate. And firstly, it got me really angry. But secondly, it got me thinking, well, what is it about these spaces that makes it okay for this to happen? Like, this doesn't happen to me, you know, in any other sort of social space that I'm in. And so I started talking to a lot of my female friends about it. I sort of, you know, came to realize that I didn't know anyone that wasn't experiencing this sort of thing when they went out. And then at the same time, you know, we had the 2 a.m. lockout coming in, a lot of focus in the media and police effort looking at male and on male physical violence. But no one seemed to be talking about the things that I was experiencing and that my friends were experiencing.
How would you define unwanted sexual attention? And for that matter, how would you define wanted sexual attention?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when I'm talking about unwanted sexual attention, firstly, I'm referring to a really broad range of behaviours, so anything from sort of unwanted touching, verbal comments, staring, through to sexual assault and rape. And it's basically anything that's happening that that person hasn't consented to or doesn't want to be happening to them. Whereas wanted attention is something that I think people are sort of actively engaging with and are okay to have that happening with
and
them.
And there's probably a whole range of signals that are happening which are age-old and people are quite comfortable with.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, I mean, are we getting a little serious? I mean, I have to kind of point out, generally at licensed venues, you know, people may be drinking or whatever. Is there a certain level of that you've got to just, like, cop because that's where you're at? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of my participants have said, that it's just something that happens when you go out. You have to expect that that's going to happen when you're in a space, particularly spaces where people are trying to pick up and to sexually interact. However, my personal stance is that it's never okay to have something happen to you sexually that you don't agree to and that you don't want to be happening. And the other thing is that, you know, even though some of these things seem quite minor, they actually have quite a profound effect on people when they're going out, and they do affect how safe people feel when they're accessing these spaces.
It also affects how they're going to feel about going out in the future as well. Look, one of the things that I'd be interested in is, as you, because I know you, I think you've already been talking to a range of people in the study, and mm-hmm. at the moment you're starting to look for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered and intersex people and their experience in licensed venues. But one of the things I was interested in asking is, have people been talking about the response time it takes for someone to get the message and to just bug off? You know, like, is there, you know, are people talking about the fact that, you know, they can deal with the situation up to a certain point, but after a while it actually becomes really harassing?
Yeah, absolutely. And most people have been saying, you know, it's not that they don't want anyone to come and talk to them or interact with them when they're out in a venue. It's more once they feel that they've made it clear through their body language or just by quite explicitly saying to someone, can you go away? And they, after that point, if they, you know, they've ignored that and they continue to harass them and engage in this unwanted behaviour, that's really when it becomes a problem. But where that line is, I think, is different for different people and depending on the circumstances.
And what sort of responses have people made to those unwanted attention? I mean, is it, you know, you've just said there where you say, no, 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 go away or whatever. And is there a point where people, like, either leave, grab their friends to have a go at the person or, you know, go to another part of the club? Or what sort of, what happens after that?
Yeah, there's a really wide range of responses. I don't know that there's necessarily a standard response, but definitely people have said, you know, they feel safer if their friends are around and they've got their friends to sort of back them up and shield them from this person. Definitely leaving the club, moving to a different part of the club.
Do they approach security and all that too? Is that part of it?
Some people have. There were really mixed responses in terms of the reaction that they get from club staff. So sometimes they respond really well and talk to the person that's doing it or kick them out. Other times they basically just say, look, go away. You know, some people have got told, look, you were drunk, you were deserving what was happening, or it's just not taken seriously. And a lot of people just won't report it to staff in the first place because they don't feel it's serious enough or that, you know, they won't respond.
And I have to say, in the 80s and 90s, there are a lot more female security staff around than there seems to be now. Almost every club around Brunswick Street and Johnson Street near where I live is always staffed by male security. So there might be even some sort of attitudinal issues that are sort of carrying through to the whole club.
Absolutely. And I think it's also worth mentioning that some people have actually been harassed and assaulted by security guards as well, so they can be part of the problem.
Can I ask, have you interviewed any... Oh, look, I know you're going to be looking for gay men out there about unwanted sexual attention. Have you interviewed any hetero men about sort of unwanted or harassing behaviour from female clients?
I have done some focus groups with heterosexual men. And, you know, it's been quite interesting. One person in particular talked about an experience of being harassed by a woman in a venue that he was working at. And he didn't seem to think that it was that big a deal. Like, it was a sort of experience that if a woman or a female participant was talking about it, it would have been something that they found quite threatening. Whereas for this guy, it was sort of like, oh, well, she wasn't going to do anything further. I felt like I could handle it. So I suspect that it probably is happening to heterosexual men a lot more than we actually realise, but there's a lot of resistance to sort of talking about it or acknowledging that it might be a threat or a problem.
And there's thousands of years of culture that makes men feel safe around women or feel, you know, in some ways physically superior.
Yeah, that's right. And even, like, I ran some online surveys and I had a lot of gay male respondents for those. And they identified it as being something that happens to them, but again, sort of felt like it was something they could deal with and it wasn't really a problem.
Yep. All right. Now, you're looking to still do some focus groups with gay, lesbian, bisexual and trans people?
I am, yes.
Yeah. And what are the parameters? How old?
So if you're aged 18 to 35 and you go to licensed venues, those are the only criteria, and you'd like to donate an hour of your time to come and talk to me about these issues.
And look, can I suggest that a great call out to trans people would be a really great thing to do, and I think maybe getting in touch with someone like the Zoe Bell Gender Centre to get onto their list, because I know that a lot of trans people get unwanted attention of all sorts in these sorts of places.
Absolutely. And I actually had one person I interviewed, and her partner was a trans woman, and it was a really significant issue for them. And part of the physical violence that they were experiencing as well tended to have a sexual element for her.
Mm. We're talking to Bianca Philivorn, who's a PhD candidate at the University of Melbourne in the School of Social and Political Sciences, and she's investigating unwanted attention in clubs. Can I just ask now, sometimes with these theses, they just sort of sit on a shelf and, you know, gather dust and die. Are you going to sort of take it further, publish it? Are you making recommendations? Like, is it taking that kind of legal end of making recommendations, or is it just going to be like a great big narrative research report?
I'm hoping it will be a little bit of both, because I think it has implications for the academic world as well as for more sort of practical policy side of things. So I have been trying to get my results out there through, obviously, through the media like I'm doing today, and at conferences, and through some academic publications. But I am also hoping that at the very least that it will initiate some sort of broader conversation about this as an issue. And ideally, I would like to make some recommendations for things that I think could be changed within the culture and the physical design of venues. I'm not sure that a legal approach is necessarily the best way to go. But I do think that there are other sort of, you know, smaller and quite achievable changes that could be made specifically within the venue environment.
What?
So, for example, I think training for staff and security is one of the really big issues. What I'm trying to do is identify things within the culture of venues that might be making it easier for this sort of thing to happen. And the other really big issue has been the design of space. So, for instance, if you've got really crowded areas where there's a bit of a traffic jam when people are trying to move through the venue, that creates the opportunity for people to, you know, cop a feel without being detected by anyone.
So, interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
And look, finally, how do people, particularly our queer listeners out there, get in touch with you to take part?
Yep, so you can email me at my Melbourne Uni address. Now, do you want me to read that out?
I know it's going to be a hard one because I've seen those university addresses, but go for it.
Sure. So it's Bianca KF, so BIANCAKF at student.unimelb.edu.au.
That's not bad at all. Normally it's all these numbers. But and then the other thing is there anything on Facebook, or is there anything, any other way that people can track you down?
There's nothing on Facebook. I have been putting ads on a few websites, so it is on the Zoe Bell Gender Centre website.
Oh, terrific. It'll also be on Care Out There on the both the Facebook page and on Twitter by this afternoon as well. So get on to Care Out There on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll find out all about how to get involved in Bianca's project.
Fantastic.
Thanks for coming in and good luck.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to Bianca Philiborne there from the University of Melbourne doing her PhD in the School of Political and Social Sciences. Now, coming up, we're going to set up a huge water polo game in the studio. Gaz is getting straight into it right now. Stay with us. You're with Take Care On Air with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
Joy 94.9.
Miss that interview live on Joy? It's available on podcast.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast.
Catch the best bits of your favourite show by heading to joy.org.au and choose from over 80 Joy programs.
It's really easy. Just click on the podcast and listen, or go one better and subscribe to your favourite show.
Available now, free, to download and take wherever you go.
Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast link.
joy.org.au.
And you're listening to Take Care On Air with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
And right now in the studio, we're about to have a water polo game.
Yes.
Right here, right now.
We're very wet.
The water's already been filling up around us. We're ankle deep. We're
Gaz are drowned, but never mind. Yes. Never mind, we're flying solo.
And we're talking to a couple of members of Melbourne's only queer water polo club, Melbourne Surge.
Woo-hoo.
They train every week, and I think they compete in winter at Melbourne High School, and they welcome everyone from beginners to Olympic champions. Good luck with that.
yeah.
Look, and we've got Seven and Disco, who are two of the members of the team in the studio, and I'm very glad to have somebody else in the studio with an unusual name, so to say.
Yes, though yours still caps it. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Now, look, I couldn't help but notice that you describe Melbourne Surge, I love the Melbourne Surge, great name, as inclusive, fun-loving and active. How do you achieve those goals?
Well, inclusive, we just sort of allow anyone to come along to our games or our trying out matches. Yeah, it's just about people who sort of are interested and think, oh, I might want to try this and come along. So sort of we allow anyone to come along and
help try out.
Yeah.
It's such fun. A bizarre it's, sport. Yeah. I mean, why would you want to play?
All sports are bizarre to you, Kath.
That's possibly true. But some potentially are more bizarre than others. Why would you want to play water polo?
Oh, well, if you are like swimming, you're really interested in swimming, you love the water, it's a great physical aspect to it. It can be quite
there's
physical.
A lot of fitness is involved is really hard, so because you've got to swim the whole time. You're in a really deep pool. So.
Oh, I thought you were standing on the bottom.
No,
definitely not.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
No, it's incredibly physical and very demanding,
yeah,
I can imagine.
Some people describe it as sort of like rugby or maybe basketball because you're sort of going up and down the pool from one end to the other and you're sort of trying to sort of smash through the other team and score goals.
Float and using your arms.
Yeah.
Now, look, you've had quite a bit of success and some international success as well. Tell us what happened at the Cologne Gay Games.
The Cologne Gay Games, we ended up coming second. We got ourselves a silver medal.
Wow,
fantastic.
Well done.
So that was great achievement for us. And IGLA last year in Hawaii, we actually took out the gold.
Oh, fantastic. Wow, well done.
And locally?
Locally, we play just the normal state league.
Yep. Against all those straight teams?
Against all the straight teams, yes.
And like you ever beat them?
Kick their bums, yes.
Oh,
we certainly
good.
Do.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we took out the gold of that. So we're just working on stepping it up again this year, and hopefully we'll be training hard enough to take it out for the winter comp this year.
Now, it's just all guys at this stage, but you're welcome to lesbian, transgender, crusader, you were saying, you know, the whole range joining up to play water polo. Like, that's the plan, is it?
Yeah, we definitely got a lot of keen interest from many areas of the community, so yeah, we're hoping that we'll get enough people down together to create second team or a third team, so yeah, it'd be really good for that to do.
So how many in a team?
You need 7 in the water at one time, including the goalie.
Yeah, and is there other people sort of like in backup ready to sort of jump in? And
yeah, there's subs that
when people drown.
When people drown at the pool, get so physically exhausted that
so how many are in Surge at the moment?
Oh, maybe 30.
About 30.
Wow, yeah. Well done.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and differing skills levels.
A lot of differing skills, yeah. Like, we've got people here who are very, very basic. They're sort of just come to training just for a bit of exercise, the social aspect, and, you know, play a few pretend games. But, yeah, right up to, I mean, we've got people that play in National League, so...
Now, Seven and Disco, can you each give us a little bit of a background about your water polo history, how you first got involved, how long you've been doing it, and things like that?
Sure.
Go for it, Seven.
Right, I think I probably started about 5 years ago. I swam, so I was comfortable in the water. I was at Carnival Day, and someone handed me a leaflet and said, come to Rookies Day, and I went, I might try that. So I went along and loved it, absolutely loved it, and met a whole heap of new great friends. And it's just carried on since then.
And you, Disco?
I've been playing for about 8 years now. I first met the team down the pub one day and had a few drinks with them, and they sort of said, why don't you come down to training tomorrow?
So do they drink like fish as well as swim like fish?
Not so much anymore. Some of them do, yeah.
Some of us. I mean, after the game.
After the game,
after the game, yes.
But, went to training the next day with the guys and got along really well with them and never looked back.
And do you find that, like, people are a bit nervous about joining water polo because it is such a highly skilled game, or is it something that people pick up quite quickly?
I think they sort of come wondering what's this sort of all about. They're a little bit nervous, but... Mm. I mean, it's not a sort of a sport that's out there on the telly all the time.
Indeed.
Anything. Mm. So they're sort of going, oh, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know anything about this, but I'll give it a go.
As long as they give it a go and they persevere with it, and you just get better and better. And we're always willing to help out as much as possible to increase everyone's skills.
Now, look, I think one of the famous water polo moments, you know what I'm going to say, which happened in Melbourne at the 1956 Olympics, was after Russia had, the Hungarians had got their independence from Russia, and then Russians took over again, and the Russian and the Hungarian water polo team ended up having a mini war in the pool.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
You guys obviously heard about that, seen footage of that.
Yeah, and sometimes it can get a little bit that physical. Yeah.
Well, look, really? What I'm trying to get at is
the bathers can come off.
What I'm getting at.
Oh.
We just had on the radio show the soccer team from Melbourne, who have a bit of a grudge match with Sydney. Now, I think there's a little bit of a. I think you even call it a grudge match between Sydney Stingers and Melbourne Surge.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
Come on, do you get into a bit of biffo in the pool?
It can get a bit heated.
It can get heated, yeah.
Name calling?
Not a name calling, yeah. Not in a sort of a vicious, awful way, but yeah, it's sort of competitive, heated competitively. Yeah,
so. And is that just traditional Melbourne-Sydney rivalry, or is there something more to it? Have they thrashed you guys at some point, or have you thrashed
them?
They used to
thrash us many, many years ago.
Right.
And ever since that, we've sort of stepped up in increasingly amount. So, yeah, we've definitely smashed them back.
Mm-hmm. We've won it the last few times, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
At least the last three times I think we've won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, well, their blood must be up.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, can you get injured in the pool with those mallet things whizzing around or whatever it is that you do?
They don't use mallets in the pool. It's not lacrosse in water.
What do they use then? I thought they used mallets. I'm thinking of horses. So, okay,
it's
guys.
Not polo.
So, what do you use? What do you do?
It's all about throwing the ball.
With the ball.
Throwing the ball.
I thought they had mallets.
Well, you might have a. It's only one arm, isn't it? Did you use?
Yeah.
You'll be fine then, Kev.
No, actually, I wanted to ask about that because, like, I'm a one arm, one legged person, and I swim kind of okay. Would I be able to do it, or would I just like be a complete disaster?
Well, you'd need to take off the artificial leg.
Yeah, I always do if I go swimming. Yeah. Have you ever had any disabled members?
No, we haven't. But if you have the ability to sort of do egg bed or keep yourself up above, you know, your chest up above the water level, and to hold and catch a ball with one hand.
Hell yeah.
Then there's no reason why you couldn't.
Do you guys use both hands when you do ball things, or are you allowed to use
one hand?
Just one hand.
And it can be one or the other?
One or the other, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crusader. I think we found my new sport, though it's a shame about the mallets.
Yeah, you would like a lacrosse.
I would like a mallet.
A polo
but
mallet.
Anyway. Yes.
To beat up the other players.
Yeah.
Just polo to whack stick, it about, you know. And do you have to have protective gear on? Do you wear, like, stuff in the water?
Oh, we have a cap that
just,
has...
Just the caps with their earmuffs.
With the plastic ear things around. Yeah. The edge,
oh. All right, finally, how do you get in touch with you guys? I bet you're going to say you can find you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely can, which is facebook.com/Melbourne Surge.
So Melbourne Surge is what you're looking up, looking for. And what about your website? We can Google Melbourne Surge. That's going to definitely find you. That's how I found you.
Yeah.
I've also got
and it will be on the Care Out There Facebook and Twitter in the next half an hour or so as well to how to get in touch with you guys. Been great talking to you. Keep up the good fun in the water, the good water sports. Been really good having you in.
Shannon and Disco from Melbourne Surge. Go well, guys.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to be checking in what's happening around the state.
Joy 94.9.
Take care out there.
Take care out there.
Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
It's Take Care on airtime still with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
And look, I wanted to say that Melbourne Surge have got a rookies program coming up on the 25th of March.
And the sexiest looking flyer I've seen for a sporting
that
group.
That was one of the questions I wanted to ask, because every flyer they've got, including everything on the website, is almost like soft porn.
It's
the smallest little costumes and the...
And hand gestures that are very suggestive.
Yes.
And I can see why they have at least 30 members, and that is a double entendre. Next, Crusader, what have we got?
We have Damien Stevens on the phone. And Damien, today, we're not going to be doing a rural roundup. We're actually going to be doing a little bit, because last time Damien was on, we were going to talk to him about the time of Goulburn Valley Pride, who Damien is convener of, going up to Mardi Gras, and we never got a real chance to do that. And we also wanted to talk about what's going on with Uniting Care Cutting Edge and their program for young GLBT youth.
That was a mouthful.
It was.
Hi, Damien.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Hey, Damien, let's start then. Mardi Gras, we know you went up there. Did you sort of spread the Victorian love?
And the bus.
Oh, we sure did. It was a super duper trip. 24 of us jumped on the luxury coach, even had reclining seats, this one.
Oh.
And it was awesome. And took the journey, a long, comfortable journey to Sydney, and arrived there on the Friday night, settled in at the lovely hotel up there. And, had a lovely weekend in Sydney. It wasn't just the parade. It was, enjoying the sights and having meals and making friends. And it was a really nice time.
That sounds really good. What was your highlight of Mardi Gras? Did many of you get to the party?
There were many highlights for me, Crusader. I think the fact that, we had a very diverse bunch of people come on the coach. There were only 24 of us, but it wasn't, just gays and lesbians. There were mums, there were older people, there were younger people. There were, I think the oldest person on the bus was in their late 60s, and that was a mum who'd always, part of her bucket list, always wanted to attend. She came along and had a great time, but some of us were on the street, some of us were in the glam stand, none of us were in the parade. We might do that next year, but
I think it'd be great to see Shepparton in the parade or Goulburn Valley in the parade.
Yep.
We'll aim for that, but and several of us did go to the after party, and I've always wanted to go to that party. I never knew what to expect, but I was overwhelmed, amazed. Love seeing Kylie and Magda and, a whole lot of other amazing performers. It was an amazing night, the whole thing.
Yeah, look, it's so incredible. It's always overwhelming, the amount of venues that are happening, the amount of different things that are
and all the
just
people there.
On, and the amount
it's
of people.
Just the people watching. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, what's going on with Uniting Care Cutting Edge and the program that you've been running up there?
The Diversity Project this year has started off very well. I've been to probably 6 or 7 secondary schools already this year. This morning I was at 2 different secondary schools doing sexuality education.
And which secondary schools were you at? Because sometimes the context of these things can be really interesting.
Yeah, sure. This morning I was at Maroopna Secondary College, which is a small suburb just next to Shepparton, and I was also at Maguire Secondary College, which is a college in south of Shepparton. Later this week, I'm off to New Murphy Secondary College, which is about half an hour north of
which
Shepparton.
Is where my partner went to school.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And, you know, over the last, like I said, couple of months, I've been to several others. But my focus when I'm there is generally healthy relationships in general and what they might look like. But I also spend a significant amount of time talking about sexual orientation, gender, gender diversity, a whole lot of other areas that that are really important and I think really foreign to a lot of young people living in regional and rural Victoria.
How receptive are they to your messages?
Generally speaking, a lot of them, you know, after a few giggles and level of discomfort for you know, content that they would never have thought would be spoken about, they're pretty good with it. I must say, though, that I do find, you know, Shepparton is a very diverse place. With
and culturally incredibly diverse now,
yes.
too.
Yes, culturally, lots of different religions. And so Maguire Secondary College, for example, where I was this morning, has a very high population of multicultural and ethnic communities, whereas Marupna was, you know, I guess not as many. And so the discussions were had a lot more giggles and were a bit more difficult when it comes to culturally and linguistically diverse young people. But we got through it.
Can I tell you I'm very proud of you, Damien, because still one of the scariest and one of the most traumatic experiences of my life was about 15 years ago being invited to Dandenong to a whole range of different schools being brought together with 500 boys in year 11 and 12.
Oh, the horror.
And talking about masculinity as a gay man. And if it wasn't for Lee Hubbard from the union movement who came on afterwards and just said how moved he was and how amazing it was to have those words spoken, I think I would have just gone home and topped myself because those kids were aggressive and difficult.
Really?
It was so I can imagine it can still be quite a taxing thing to go through that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it can be difficult. Certainly the schools that I find it can be a bit more challenging in are the ones where, you know, religion tends to be a focus for the school. But
does that include Catholic schools, do you think? Or?
Oh, it does. However, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm actually going along to a network meeting of all of the representatives from Catholic schools right across our region, Crusader, to present to them what I feel would be helpful and appropriate to combat bullying, homophobic bullying in Catholic schools, and to be talking to them about how I can deliver that to all of the Catholic schools across our diocese over the next 12 months as well. So,
wow, that'd be fantastic. Yep.
We're making inroads everywhere.
And you'd also be very aware of the work of Maria Palotti Chiaroli as well, who's done a lot of work with Catholic schools. In fact, I think she made it, and for a while there, the Catholic schools were actually leading the way in their anti-homophobia work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damien, it's been great to talk to you as always, and we'll have you back in 2 weeks' time. And on that time, we're going to be finding out more about everything that's been happening right across Victoria and what's going to be coming up.
See you then.
Excellent.
Bye, Damien. See ya. And if you want to find out more about what Goulburn Valley Pride get up to, you can look them up on Facebook. Damien's a very good Facebooker.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's us for this week. We will be back again next Tuesday from midday to one, which is our regular time slot. You're with Joy all the way across Melbourne, your gay, lesbian, queer community radio station. We'll see you again next week. Thanks to Gaz, our panel op.
As always.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.